This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We're almost at the break. Still a few more days to go in this NHL schedule before it stops for Four Nations. How closely are you paying attention? Which team is currently in first place overall, Marty?
In the National Hockey League?
I would assume so.
Okay, I am going to say the Washington Capitals.
No, be the Winnipeg Jets.
They were my first pick, and then I went the other way because I'm like, this is a trick question.
It is a trick question because the Capitals are number one based on points percentage, but the Jets are 2 points ahead in the standings. There are reasons why I wanted to get to Washington because we already dealt with Winnipeg in the first half hour, and that was their seven-game win streak highlighted by Eric Comrie getting the victory last night. Washington has Logan Thompson currently on a 12-0-2 run, a point streak that has allowed them to maintain their position. But it's not the thing I want to talk about. I just want to get this out there in our hockey community that we're sending our best and all our love to Craig Laughlin, longtime Capitals broadcaster, had open-heart surgery yesterday. He's been absent from the broadcast for the last couple of weeks in the buildup to the surgery. The Capitals announced it last night amidst their home win. Huge standing ovation in-house. They get a 6-3 win over the Panthers, and Ovechkin scores again with an empty netter. But just wanted to make sure that Locker knows that that we're thinking of him.
Yeah, he's been awesome, and he's been there for a long time with the Washington Capitals, so we are thinking of him. He said he'll be back. He said, you know, this should all be good, but it is surgery, and it's heart surgery, so you always have to keep them in your prayers, so that's good. When you think about the Washington Capitals, you just mentioned Logan Thompson, 12-0-2 in his last 14 games. That is incredible. And Alex Ovechkin, this is comical. Because people are going to say, wow, Ovi got to 25 goals. Wow, Ovi is 17 away from passing Wayne Gretzky. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got 878 now, and he's got to get to 895. But the way he scored his goal yesterday, the Washington Capitals already had scored an empty net to make it 5-3 against the Florida Panthers. A minute left, they still pulled Bobrovsky, and Ovi is on the ice, almost cherry-picking at the blue line for the puck to get to him. He had a chance to shoot it in. He delayed, probably wasn't sure how much time was left, and then he shot it in the goal, and it crossed the line with 0.1 second. Like, 0.1, not like, oh, the fans were on their feet waiting to see if it was going to count or not in Washington, which was really, really funny to see.
Amazing. And yet he's still not leading the NHL in empty netters this year, despite six of his 25 coming in that regard. Mikko Rantanen has seven empty netters, but Ovi is the king of empty netters all time. And I'm still going to sit here and say, I don't think he gets the record this year. I really don't.
17 is a lot because he slowed down after the injury. He started on fire.
Yeah, he scored in like three straight games now, right?
Yeah, but 17 goals for the rest of the year is a lot, although he will get a break at the Four Nations faceoff because Russia is not in the tournament. So he'll get to just rest, relax. Mm-hmm. Maybe I would love him to get it in the last game of the season or second last game of the season, like create that amazing buzz for Washington going into the playoffs. It would be fun. Oh, by the way, talking about scoring goals, Leon Draisaitl, 37 goals now on the season. And another one of those goalie pulled, like Edmonton and Colorado are probably the best two teams when it comes to pulling the goalie and getting a late goal. And then in OT, McDavid just turned Dylan Holloway the wrong way. It was kind of funny. I'm like, dude, you played with him. You know what he's capable of doing. And he turned him around and found Connor Brown for the game-winning goal.
Yeah, that was pretty spectacular. That's so much easier said than done. I'll let Holloway off the hook. I mean, you could literally practice against McDavid every hour of every day for your entire life and not know what to do, what to expect, how to get out of an unwinnable situation, basically.
His reaction was just one of those, like, like playing against Connor McDavid in a real game is different than facing him in practice. Like when McDavid went by him and made the pass, Holloway looked up like, well, I've now been a victim of the great Connor McDavid.
Yeah, he had points on all three of the goals for Edmonton in their comeback win.
Yep.
McDavid has 41 career overtime points. Who's got the most?
Overtime points. Ooh.
It's closer than you think.
I am going to say Nathan MacKinnon.
No. Come on.
Nope. Okay. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, this is a guy that's playing a ton of 3-on-3 and on a good team.
I know, but who's played overtime longer in this current generation?
Crosby.
Sidney Crosby.
Okay.
Has 47. He is the leader. Followed by Evgeny Malkin, 43. And McDavid has now tied Kane and Ovechkin with 41.
Oh, talking about Patrick Kane.
Yes, that's the segue.
Did you see that move last night? What a segue. That backhand slow developing,
but
you
not
know,
as
shootout.
Slow as he used to be. That's the thing. I loved it.
Yes, not Kuznetsov slow, not as slow. Make the goalie think that maybe I'm going to do something else. But he slows down a little bit and does the back end. It was barred down like poor Joey Decord, victimized. And now Patrick Kane is the guy that has scored the most shootout goals in the National Hockey League with 53.
53 and tied for the most game-deciding shootout goals with 23 of those 53 being the difference makers. He and Franz Nielsen, most notably of the New York Islanders, the title holders in that regard. But Kane not only delivers, and he's battled through injuries here the last couple of months. I really enjoyed his post-game interview last night. I thought, and again, this is a byproduct of winning, but he offered an awful lot as to, you know, the things that he's seeing, the names that just, like, without prompting from an interviewer, he's wanting to really spread the flowers around here.
Yep.
And yet, it's all under Todd McLellan, who now, incredibly, in 20 games with the Red Wings, has 2 7-game win streaks.
Yes.
The Red Wings are 15-4-1 under Todd McLellan to put them into wild card one in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and the Detroit Red Wings are last in the league in penalty kill with 69.7% on the penalty kill. But in this latest 7-game win streak, the penalty kill for the Red Wings is 84.6%. You know, we talked to Shayna Goldman a lot about the Red Wings and the penalty kill, and she talked about Derek Lalonde, the former coach of the Red Wings, being an assistant coach, running the penalty kill with other teams, but could not figure out how to have a successful penalty kill with the Detroit Red Wings. Well, Todd McLellan has been able to figure that out. Like, I'm sure the head coach don't always look at every aspect of the games, but you can have an influence and tweak things. And Todd McLellan has turned the penalty kill now in the last 7 games for the Red Wings on a positive side. And now they're 7-0. Like you said, second time that he's had a 7-game winning streak since taking over the Detroit Red Wings bench.
But Kane basically gave him credit for And I know this sounds like what you would expect from every coach, but playing more aggressively, and when you start looking at the offensive contributions through their lineup, I mean, he was already having this kind of year, and it was about to be for no good reason because of where the Wings were at in the standings. But like, Lucas Raymond is having a terrific season. But then most recently, you get some backfill in the form of, and we're going to bounce back and forth on the way this is pronounced based on how we've pronounced his brother's name this year.
I got it pulled up on my page right now.
They're calling him Elmer Soderblom on the Red Wings broadcast, as opposed to Soderblom, which we were calling Chicago. Arvid based on what Chicago was calling him.
Yes.
So call it what you will. It's
Elmer.
A long name.
Let's call him Elmer and Arvid. Elmer and Arvid, and not call him last name.
Elmer's a big dude, and they
6'8".
Tempering their expectations, but they always felt like we might have a player here, and it's been really fun to watch him here in the last week have an impact on games. So, but again,
five games with a point, and he's like, he keeps going. So that's mm-hmm. what it is. Like, you're like, who's got point streaks going on in the National Hockey League? You're like, oh, top players, right? And obviously, Pasternak now has an 11 game point streak, and Boston wins and whatever, but Elmer Soderblom. Soderblom, whatever. He has 5 games, point streak. Like, that's pretty impressive for Detroit.
Yeah, and the Wings, like I said, in a wild card spot now, having won 7 games in a row. Ottawa's still in a playoff spot as well, despite their loss last night. The ongoing challenge, even with Linus Ullmark coming back, is yet another forward lost. They're playing without Josh Norris right now. Now Shane Pinto got injured too. It really is. It's almost unbearable sometimes watching the same teams deal with like the never ending cycle. Like, Columbus is dealing with it. Ottawa continues to deal with it. So we'll see what they're able to do. Ullmark obviously lost last night in his return after missing more than a month. You mentioned St. Louis, and we just mentioned Todd McClellan. We've already seen what the Blues did last week with Brandon Saad being, you know, waived and ultimately have the contract terminated.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm going to ask it this way, since you just, you know, we just talked about the numbers under Todd McClellan. What do we make of the Blues? I mean, they wanted Jim Montgomery, obviously. They made the change to get the former Blue behind the bench. And we all have seen what Montgomery has done in other places. So maybe this is completely unfair. Or it helps to put the spotlight where it belongs, which is not the coach. But he's been there for 32 games. They're 15, 13, and 4. So they have 15 wins and 17 losses, which is just about the exact same win-loss ratio that Drew Bannister had, with obviously the same type of roster.
Yes.
So, like, what's going to happen next with the Blues? They already made their Saad move. What else is going to happen? And what's it going to look like for them?
So I think the Blues are going to be one of the most aggressive team. I've already talked about Utah. I think Utah is going to be up there. But this is going to be the last year for GM Armstrong and the Blues at the helm. Alexander Steen's going to take over in 2026. And I feel
But that's not next. There's one more year.
Yeah, that's one more year. That's his last year. He's going to want to make moves.
Okay, you just said this year was his last. It's not. Yeah, There's one more season. Yeah.
This upcoming year, like 25-26 will be his last year.
Okay.
And I think he wants to go out on a high note. He brought in Jim Montgomery early because he didn't want him to go anywhere else. And I think now what they're going to do after this year and at the deadline is they're going to say, okay, let's sit down. Which players do we want to keep going with and which players we don't want? What's the direction of the team? And they're going to be very aggressive. They brought in Jim Montgomery. They had a coach there, Drew Bannister. He was there for like a quarter of the season, right? He was like, oh, let's have him as a coach. And boom, they moved on from him. Mm-hmm. They are going to be extremely aggressive. I think there's going to be some major movement in St. Louis moving forward.
Which way, though? Like, do you mean shedding?
I think they will do a bunch of hockey trades where they will shed but acquire. They will go for big guys. The problem is that, Like Kyrou's got a no trade clause coming up in July 1. Thomas has a no trade clause. Shen has a no movement clause. Buchnevich, they all have trade protection. But I'm looking at there is going to be some players in there. Maybe Buchnevich. You know, they
just signed long term with them. I can't imagine that happening.
I know. And it's $8 million. It's a lot of money. But they are going to be aggressive. And they did the two offer sheets last summer. They're going to continue to be extremely aggressive this year.
John Gibson earned his silver stick last night. 500th NHL game. And the Ducks have won 5 out of 6. And Gibson has a .636 quality starts percentage this year, which is second highest of his career.
Yep.
Congratulations, John Gibson.
Way to go, Gibby.
Really, he's had a really, really good year.
And Anaheim scored.
Anaheim's won 5 of 6. It's all based on Zegras returning. And, you know, like they're it's kind of fun to watch. They're not that far out of it. Like if you're saying some teams are still in it out there, then you have to include the Ducks.
Yes, so. Absolutely. And look, Trevor Zegras, was that a Patton, Trevor Zegras type goal? No, he had one hand on the stick deflecting it, and it went over Ottinger in the third period. Great, but you need Trevor Zegras to get involved, right? And Zellweger made a great play at the blue line. That was your young guys in Anaheim have to step up, and you have Carter Gauthier getting 9 goals now. We talk about Erik Kulik here with the production. Well, Carter Gauthier is a young guy that has to produce in Anaheim. He's got almost 10 now. That's a good start for him in his NHL career.
Yeah, and Mason McTavish 7 in his last 7 as well. We'll take a quick break, come back with a little wrap on Sabres Live right after this.